We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Molly and Hall.
We trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Khalil Mack, the face of the Bears defense, the voice of the Bears defense.
He's the Bears franchise player.
He's their franchise player, period.
He's the most important player in that organization.
He's the highest paid defensive player in NFL history.
And you can debate the Mitch Trubisky angle, and it's probably a debate that means nothing. But if you had to rank players in terms of importance to this team and franchise right now, it's the guy you just guaranteed $90 million to.
Wow. I think we could have a serious argument about that.
Really?
I wasn't even trying to spark anything.
I think it goes without saying.
Oh, I disagree. I agree with what you're saying, that he is the franchise player. But would you change the conversation? Now, would you say the most important player? No.
Aren't they one and the same?
No, they're not. The quarterback's the most important player. Everything they've done is about the quarterback. Every move they've made, from hiring the coach, from signing so many receivers. Think about the amount of guaranteed money they've given out to these weapons on offense. Every move that they've made,
they've had to justify it by saying it's about Mitch Trubisky because they didn't have Khalil Mack at the time.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Victor Caratini at the plate, lines one, caught by the shortstop Arcia, and the ball game is over. Milwaukee wins the game, they win the series, and the division lead is down to a razor-thin one game.
The offense is taking a hit, there's no question. No pun intended, but it's we got to get better. I mean, there's just no other way to look at it.
Mully, Paul.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Good morning, David. How you holding up, buddy?
I'm holding up well. It's Thursday. You're getting to the end of the week. Why, do I look tired?
No. Do I look tired? I'm talking about the Cubs and what's going on with the Cubs.
Do I look okay?
Do I look fatigued? You look well. Oh, my God.
Because if you tell me I look tired, I'm going to feel tired.
Yeah. You're not going to talk about how tired you are.
No, I'm not going to. Because once I start talking about how tired I feel, I'm going to feel tired.
Did you watch the ESPN broadcast or the local broadcast?
I'm a local guy.
Okay.
I went local.
I am a local guy, but I always like to get the national perspective on the
team. How was that? Because I missed it.
Well, the first run of the game, okay? So the first hit of the game was the amazing tight wire act. I don't know what you call that, where the ball, Curtis Granderson's ball, bounces twice.
That was cool, actually. Very cool.
Yeah. And it comes back into play. And then he's driven in by a single that Albert Elmora plays into a triple. Right?
Yeah.
It was a two-base error by Albert Elmora.
Sloppy.
So was that the third? Because there was an out in there. Right? So that's the third batter. And Rick Sutcliffe says, this is what Joe Maddon has been talking about. I talked to Joe before the game. He's worried that the field position players are getting too tired because of the 30 games in 30 days.
And yes.
That's an example of it. That's just a guy that is tired. He basically, it was.
What do you think about that?
Well, I thought the guy misplayed the ball and it bounced off his foot.
Yeah, I think so. I thought later on
he made an unbelievable catch that, you know, with another Albert Elmora Jr. catch. But I'm just saying, literally the first run of the game, the third batter, you heard all the tired Cubs.
Well, I'm not going to dispute the fact that their bats look slow and their legs look a little bit heavy.
They look tired.
But I think, at this point of the season,
all the excuses are in place.
I think they absolutely are.
I also think that they're pretty beaten up. And Joe obviously told Sutcliffe, our field position players.
Joe telling Sutcliffe, Joe being as honest and open about the schedule taking its toll, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're as tired, you're playing as tired as everyone's saying that you feel. And maybe that's not a factor, maybe that's overstating it. But you know what? I don't know if they could have had a day off, a week full of rest, whatever, and still caught up with Josh Hader's fastball. I don't think that would have helped. The guy faced nine batters, or faced 10 batters in the series, and he struck out nine of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's dominant.
Yeah.
Is that fatigue?
I'm not arguing that point. I do think that today may be the bridge too far. That coming back from this game, I know the game tomorrow has been moved back, but this would-be day off turning into another trip, and They're not facing Scherzer.
You could look at it the other way. See, that's what I'm saying. You could look at it the other way. This is an opportunity to come together and to go out there and win a game despite everything.
Yeah, I think
to make the most of this.
I think the schedule might be catching up to him. I think the day after day after day.
What if they win today?
It doesn't matter. I'm not saying they're going to lose today. I'm saying this may be the bridge too far. They may come back from that.
The effect of this.
That's what I'm saying. This taking this detour into Washington and back, this may be the thing that does. This may be a tipping point.
30 and 30 is too much.
I think it's too much.
Was ESPN here to do a 30 for 30 on 30 in 30?
Boy, it's a natural. You'd think that
you would think so.
But you know, they got.
What if I told you
they got rid of?
What if I told you a baseball team would have to play 30?
They got rid of Bill Simmons, the guy who created that. So I don't know if anyone's whispering in their ear anymore.
They can still do.
Didn't Bill Simmons create the 30 for 30? He came up with the idea.
He may have claimed the idea.
No, he did come up with the idea.
It's a good idea.
And then they fired him.
It's a good idea. That's not why they fired him.
They fired him because he came up with good ideas.
Okay.
They used them, and then they thought, you know what? It's been about 30 days since he had a good idea.
This is interesting to me, though.
Let's launch him.
You think that the trip to Washington, D.C. is going to be the tipping point for the season?
I think, David, they're knackered, and they're talking about being knackered.
I love that word.
And they're exhausted, and they're very tired, and they're talking about being very tired. And now this trip, in the midst of all the very tired talk, might be the thing that pushes them over the top. It's just a concern.
Brewers are off today.
I'm more concerned about the weekend. Yeah, I know.
Brewers are off replenishing themselves today.
That's
5-hour energy drinks.
Most baseball teams do.
Kale.
No, it's more like sleep.
Kale smoothies.
It's no 5-hour energy.
Long naps.
You don't have to get up. You don't need the energy. You just stay in bed.
The most disturbing thing that I heard in terms of, you know, we're interpreting body language, we are looking at real language. And I think the most disturbing thing I heard post-game from this team was Javi Baez saying he hopes he doesn't have to see the Brewers again in the postseason. I mean, that's quite a turnaround from a team that used to own the Brewers. And since April, or since the first, you know, I think they won 8 of the first 9 against Milwaukee, that's not a team you want to face.
No.
But they're acknowledging that. They're the Cubs.
Yelich and Kane are very good. They're just very good. They're very consistent.
Kane had a great series.
He was unbelievable.
How about Curtis Granderson? I mean, they should name a stadium in Chicago after him or something.
He was good. He was good. He came back with the home run after the tight wire act. It was pretty good.
Double shy of the cycle.
Yeah.
He has been quietly very important to that team since he came over from the Blue Jays.
Yeah. He's a good player.
Just a veteran presence. You like him. And there's not a better guy in Major League Baseball than Curtis Granderson.
Wasn't there talk of the Cubs looking for him earlier in the year?
I think there's been talk about the Cubs looking for him since like 2008.
He's the kind of guy you should look for. He had 3 hits, as you say, and pretty good. Pretty good stuff. The Cubs had 6 hits, 2 of them from Chris Bryant, who also had the lone RBI. It was a 5-1 loss. So it's good to just see something out of Chris Bryant. I thought maybe he'd home run. He'd hit a home run because didn't JD claim he'd hit a home run?
In his pregame montage.
It's funny. I was watching the local broadcast, and then after the tight wire thing, I'm like, oh, I meant to watch the national, and I went back to the national, and then backed up just to see how they handled the thing. You know, just to compare and contrast.
Sure.
They did a good job too. I thought both.
So you watched the ESPN broadcast, so you missed the Kevin Hart visit to the booth in the 7th inning.
Yes, I did not. I didn't see that.
Well, you were probably among the lucky ones.
We've had Kevin Hart on the air.
I've heard that.
Yeah, he was on when
– My sense and memory
Philly,
of that
he's a big Philly guy, and he was on during the Super Bowl.
I think he was probably better in that segment than he was last night.
I don't know.
You don't know? That's a toss-up?
It wasn't as smooth as you think.
Well, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because
why would he be throwing out the first pitch?
I don't know. He's got a movie coming out.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the movie. But Len sort of awkwardly asked him
Cubs
about it.
When you think baseball?
You think Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
You know who else was there last night, though? Paul Ruschel.
Oh, you're kidding. Rick Russell's brother.
Yeah, I think he threw out the first pitch.
I remember them. Yeah.
Oh, was that a brother tandem?
Oh, my God. That's the way back machine, buddy.
That's my wheelhouse of Cubs baseball growing up, turning on WGN.
They were on all the time.
And watching Rick Russell.
Every day.
With that, trying to duplicate his delivery, pretending like I was a pitcher. And he was a good hitting pitcher, too.
Baseball and sunshine.
That's right.
Yeah. I think I was trying to duplicate the Wilbur Woods eating habits, I think, of those days.
Could you throw the knuckleball?
No. I mean, like every
human. Did you try to throw the knuckleball?
Like everyone who's ever watched a game of baseball in their life, I have definitely attempted to throw the knuckleball. And mainly in wiffle ball. And it's always one that is cracked out of the backyard. I've never been able to succeed. Wiffle ball is so much fun because you can really throw some great pitches. Just all you got to do is
wiffle
follow
ball
the instructions.
Would make
on
every 12-year-old believe that he could throw a major league curveball.
Yes.
Because
exactly
the way
right.
the ball danced when it came out of your hand.
It was the funnest thing ever. You could really make the ball dance, and you could strike out.
Were you a skinny bat or a fat bat guy? I mean,
skinny bat. We were skinny bats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but it was made you feel better.
My brother was so good, and we would play wiffle ball, and I never threw him a single strike. And he would just throw these fat pitches down the middle just to keep the game going, right? And I would like literally, like he'd be like swinging at stuff. You know, I never threw a strike. That was my secret to beating him. And he would just get frustrated. He thought I just didn't know what the hell I was doing because I was younger, but I was smarter. That's what I did. Never threw a single strike.
Paul Ruschel and Rick Ruschel, I can remember, I think Rick Morrissey even tweeted this out last night, the baseball card of both of them together.
Yes. Yeah. And that baseball card.
And I think Paul Ruschel looked like sort of an agriculture professor. You know, it's like a guy. And Rick Russell was just...
Rick was the significantly better player.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it always made me feel bad for Paul Russell.
The overlooked brother.
Well.
The other guy.
It's hard to be...
The other Russell.
It's hard to be the second brother, right? the not as good brother, isn't it? I don't know. Yes, the Baldwins. 312-644-6767. We got a lot going on. The White Sox ending their 7-game losing streak. Big win for the White Sox. They're still playing, did you know? And, of course, the Cubs, the lead down to one single game. We'll have a lot of Cubs panic. The Bears back at Halas Hall, getting ready for the Seahawks. A lot of interesting things coming out of there.
A lot of interesting things came out of Halas Hall
yesterday. Very interesting stuff.
Some rhetoric that you'd probably prefer not to hear.
Oh, my goodness. And we'll talk about it next. We have the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
This segment brought to you by Subway. Check out 3 signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of the turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway, make it what you want. Limited time only at participating locations.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment of the show brought to you by Sport Clips. Check in online at sportclips.com/check-in and claim your spot today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Has the schedule caught up to the Cubs, or is it about to?
Geez, I hate to say this because I take no glee in it, but I think it's about to. I think the schedule has been bothersome, and I think that, David, you were onto it this morning. I think all the talk about it has gotten to a point where it's going to catch up to him. Just you can't get away from all the concern about it, and here I go again with it. But I do think this is a bridge too far. I think that this, getting on the plane last night and having to go there and having to deal with today and then having to get out of there and then come back and even playing tomorrow night, I think is going to be a rough one. I think it's going to be a rough weekend for the Cubs. I really do. And I think that, no pleasure in saying this, but I think that they fall out of first place this weekend.
Wow, that's quite a bold prediction. We'll have to get back to that one. I think that it has become almost as much of a mental hurdle as it is a physical one. And I think that we're talking about baseball, and I understand that there are things that go into baseball that we don't always appreciate because of the preparation physically, but it's become more mental than anything. And I think that's the hurdle that the Cubs have to clear. I think they began this sort of one-day trip with the right philosophy. They're leaving some guys behind. They're only taking kind of as-needed travel contingent. I hope they took Zach. But I think that when you look at, they have the 3 o'clock game today. I like what Anthony Rizzo put on his Instagram account. I know you're a big Instagram guy, Mully, but he took a photo of teammates on the team plane, and he was in his uniform with eye black, and like he's ready to go. And it's a good statement to make. That's the kind of thing, though. That's the kind of silly, maybe gimmicky thing the Cubs have to do to just get through this. Because I think mentally, it's something that has become bigger than it needed to be. Because I didn't know it was unprecedented, as Theo Epstein said yesterday on this station, that 30 games are almost unprecedented. I think he said 30 scheduled games in 30 days, but I don't know if it's caught up to them. I think that they're one victory away from going on a run, but right now it has become an issue because they've made it one.
They have been outscored in the second half by 7 runs. This is usually when they dominate. Now, they don't have an awful record since the All-Star break, 29-23. But over the past 3 seasons, what are we used to? The Cubs running away and hiding from everybody else, and then the last month of the season, they're able to relax. Previous 3 years, last year, 49-25, 50-23. 50-25 in 2015. The schedule has caught up to them, and it might get worse. And they're always talking about it. Why? Because they're constantly being asked about it. Why are they being asked about it? Because the situation's constantly changing. So it's just something you can't get away from at all. But it's not the only thing. I think everybody on the roster almost, except for Javi Baez has been on the disabled list at some point this season. And there have been guys that you expected to take their game to another level, and they haven't. Some have regressed. Contreras at the plate, he has 9 home runs on the year. Addison Russell had his struggles. And Ian Happ has not been the player that we expected him to be this season. So yeah, the schedule has caught up to him, but it's not only about the schedule.
Last I checked, every team plays 162 games, right? Everybody's tired. You ask any ball player, current ball player, former ball player, whatever. You ask, are you tired in September? Hell yeah, I'm tired. It's September. We've been playing since March or, even into February, almost every single day coming to the park. Everybody's tired right now. The schedule is the lamest excuse I can think of for trying to justify this team that have shown themselves to be, I don't know, mentally weak down the stretch. I don't really know how else to put it. And Joe is supposed to be the guy who's able to, lift their spirits and pull them out of these funks and have little road trips and dress-up trips and whatever the hell else he wants to do. But the fact of the matter is that this roster, despite all of the injuries, and there have been a lot of injuries, I think in fairness you have to use that caveat, but it's still the most loaded roster in the National League. This pitching staff was supposed to be much better, and you've seen the wear and tear on the bullpen, which was so excellent earlier in the season. It's caught up to them. These starters only going 5 innings, 6 innings every single time out, and now we're in the middle of September, and Morrow's hurt. Cishek stinks all of a sudden. Carl Edwards Jr. can't throw a strike. These are the kind of things that happen that matter earlier in the season that will come back and bite you. So it's not the schedule, it's the starting rotation, it's injuries, it's the manager, it's everything.
We got to go back to this mentally weak comment.
Mentally weak.
How are they mentally weak?
They are injured.
They're
moaning
and complaining nonstop.
I'm not hearing
them. Get over it.
I'm not hearing them moan and complain. I actually blame us, if the media and the questions that are asked. They're asked questions and they're giving answers. I like what Anthony Rizzo did. I think that's funny. I think you need to lighten up the mood a little bit. I get it. Listen, this group right here, okay, the six of us that are, if we had to be with each other as long as they have to be together 30 days in a row, it would not be good. Okay,
it would not be good,
and we're only together basically 5 days a week.
Yeah, we have to travel too,
and we have to travel
all day.
Yeah, yeah. Eat meals together, share Uber rides.
Is today only Thursday?
It's only Thursday. It would not be good. Molly, I'm gonna go opposite of what you said.
Okay,
I'm hoping, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Joe uses the MLB against us against the world. Everybody's sick of the Cubs, and they actually rally around it. They're ticked off. They're ticked off, and they use that ticked offness to help them get through this weekend, because it might be hard this weekend. Last night was the first night they looked tired to me watching them. Javi Baez, who is a bundle of energy,
yes,
he looked tired last night. Usually when he tried to steal second, I don't know what the hell Joe was doing there, but that's a whole other story. That's not the question right now. He looked tired. He looked sore. He looked defeated, and that's bad. So I hope that the plane ride to Washington last night was fun, and that they're engaged, and they wake up this afternoon ticked off, and they go for it.
It's a good question.
Who will have the bigger postseason impact, Brandon Morrow or Jason Hayward?
I think it's a very optimistic question, because it could be none of the above. Having a post, who will have the biggest postseason impact assumes that either one of them or both of them will have an impact at all. Those could be two guys that aren't on the postseason roster. You just don't know yet, because Jason Hayward's hamstring is iffy, and it's been vague, and there's been a little bit mystery surrounding whether or not he's going to come back. And I know that they avoided setting a timetable for his return. Theo talked yesterday that there wasn't one. Brandon Morrow is going to, he could be back, on the other hand, as soon as a week, they said. We don't know if that's optimistic, overly optimistic. We don't know what he's going to be when he comes back.
Did you like his answer when he was asked if he comes back as the closer, and he said he just wanted to contribute in any role that he had?
I like everything Brandon Morrow has said about this whole situation. I think he's one of the more refreshing guys in that clubhouse to talk to, and I think he's said all the right things. He's done all the right things. I feel bad for him that he's been limited, but I don't know that either one of them are going to have an impact. I wonder if Brandon Morrow will have a postseason save, because that's the Cubs team that they designed to go into October, was him saving games, and I just don't know if that's realistic at this point. So if I had to pick one or the other, I would have to say Jason Hayward is probably a safer bet right now to have any impact at all.
I'm going to go with Brandon Morrow, just because I liked his answer yesterday, and I liked the way he put it, and I don't know if he's going to get a save, David. I think that's an excellent question, but it sounded like he is going to be back. He sounded more optimistic, and I loved the way he said that he, any role that he could fill, any way that he could contribute, he wanted to do that, and I believed him, so I'm going to go with him. Hayward could come back and not have an impact. I mean, I think Hayward might be more likely to return than Brandon Morrow.
He could give a speech.
Yeah, he could come back and not have an impact. That was my comment, the speech. I just don't think that. I think the speech is more in others' minds than in reality.
It's just such garbage.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. They all said it right after the game. Like, it was planned out.
It was really crazy.
Guess Jason Hayward, because I'm still not sure that Morrow is going to be healthy. Look, if both guys are healthy, this is an easy answer. It's definitely going to be Brandon Morrow. Even if he isn't back in that closer's role, and you guys talked about it with Hickey yesterday. Theo was talking about it yesterday on The Score, but we don't know what the role will be. They're just trying to make sure they can get him back, and it might not be in the closer's role. But any pitcher that is on Joe's short list, we know about the short list. We don't know what it is right now, but his playoff short list of relievers that he's willing to go to,
Brian Dunsick,
in a big spot. No, he will not be on the roster. That's David Bodie's spot. But if you're on that list, you are crucial to this team. And if Morrow's healthy, he's going to be on the list. I just don't know that he's going to be healthy. So I would say Hayward. But yeah, if Morrow's out there, he's certainly more important than an elite right field defender, because offensively he's below average.
Yeah, I think the great resurrection of Jason Hayward this year has been a little bit overblown just because of how putrid he was the 2 years prior to this. So I don't really think, you know, if he does come back, how much of a massive impact that'll really have. I mean, they already have so many guys vying for those outfield spots. Chris Bryant's apparently a left fielder now full-time. Kyle Schwarber can't get in the lineup. Ian Happ has been struggling a lot. He hasn't really been playing much. So, you know, you have options there that are better potentially than Jason Hayward could give you offensively. And really, you know, I talked about all the problems that the Cubs have already had. They're not scoring any runs right now either. So they need somebody that's going to be able to put a charge in a ball. And I don't know if Jason Hayward's that guy. So potentially the answer here is Brandon Morrow. I'm just, you know, despite what he said yesterday, I'm just still not convinced that he's going to be able to come back, be 100%, be the guy throwing triple digits, you know, mowing everybody down at the end of a game. I'll believe it when I see it.
Coach Fitz and the Cats return to Ryan Field this Saturday when they host Akron. 6:30 kick. Season and single game tickets are on sale right now at nusports.com. Well, I want the Cubs to have a very long, productive postseason. And I think if Brandon Morrow has a bigger impact on the postseason, then what I'm hoping for will actually happen. Now, we're talking about the Cubs' offense, and that's been an issue lately. Hayward's been pretty good overall this year at the plate, better than most of us would have thought. So I'd like both. Now, based on health, I think if you're asking who's more likely to be healthy enough to be on the playoff roster, I would think that person is Jason Hayward is more likely. But if the Cubs do have the success that I'm hoping for, then I think Brandon Morrow would be the more impactful of those two.
This is the question we always ask, and we just never know unless a guy admits it.
Should the Cubs feel good about getting Friday's game moved back to 7 p.m. or bad about still having to travel to Washington today after Major League Baseball ignored their request?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should feel good that there's still a game ahead, and I think they should always concentrate on the positive. That's what you have to do in sports. You can't allow all of the outside noise, all of the grind to get to you. You just have to always have a positive attitude and put yourself into a plus mind frame. There's no way out of that. That is what sports is. It's, you know, it really works when you envision yourself doing well and then you go out and play a game. It's part of the mental trick that you have to play. I mean, to me, this is a very easy question, because the minute you start feeling sorry for yourself, that's when you can't be your best. So it is, you know, all of life is just a little mental trick you have to play on yourself. You have to convince yourself that things are going well. You got to convince yourself you can come back from that. You got to convince yourself it's not going to bottom out. Everything's going to be okay. You got to convince yourself you can handle this. Everything's going to work out. You can get it done. It's just part of the self-hypnosis that you have to do to get through life, let alone get through sports.
You have to convince yourself it's not really 3 a.m.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's it. No, this is just my schedule. And boy, I had a great night's sleep. No, it's all, it is, you know, I can't go on. I must go on. I will go on, Samuel Beckett. That's how you do it.
I think that's a great attitude. I mean, that's the way you have to look at it. That's why I liked that little Instagram post to see what the Anthony Rizzo did to try to lighten the mood and look at the trip as more of a fun thing than it is a chore, because we've all heard enough about how much of a chore this has been for the Cubs. I do think they can look at the way that the city and the Cubs came to a resolution and were able to move Friday night's game to Friday night rather than Friday afternoon, and the quick turnaround isn't quite as quick. They get a reprieve there. They can come home after, in their minds, a victory in Washington and a trip they didn't want to take against a team they didn't want to play, and say we can sleep in or we can go to the park later. And it's American Legion Day for a day. I think they have to make the best of this. You're right. You have to play mental tricks on yourself. You have to find a way to stay positive and to get the most of this opportunity, because it is an opportunity. You're in a pennant race. You've got to win, and you have a game to win. The Brewers aren't playing, so they're not going to lose today. You have to increase your lead. The whole thing about should they feel like MLB did the right thing, it looks as if the weather shifted and the storm changed and it's going to, you know, spare Washington, D.C., or at least hit it later than maybe anticipated. Let's hope they're all right.
Remember when MLB was going to make sure that teams got more off days in 2018? That sort of backfired with all the weather this year. But listen, there's a reason they try to max out throughout the schedule at 20 days in a row. There's a reason for that. Now, this comes down to, are you a positive person or a negative person? If you're a positive person, you're going to say, yes, at least they threw us a bone here a little bit. We don't have that quick turnaround. And if you're a negative person, you're going to say, oh, yeah, great. Okay, now we have another quick turnaround because on Saturday we have an afternoon game after now the Friday night game. So yeah, you hope they take the positive outlook on things because they need to win this division here. And they're just get to the end, win your division, and then you get three off days before the playoffs start.
Well, you should hope that they take the positive outlook. Isn't that Joe's MO? Isn't that the reason he's the manager of the team? Because he's Mr. Positivity and he's galvanizing the troops and keeping them afloat during the tough times. This is what you're paying Joe Madden $6 million a year for, ostensibly, when there are other managers making, what? How much is Gabe Kapler making? How much is Dave Roberts making? Less than $1 million. So, yeah, I think the team should look at it as a positive. Like I said earlier, you know, they'll find anything to complain about. But I think at this point in the season, you do have to try to take the good things and look at things, frame things in a positive way whenever possible. And they should be trying to do that here.
He's aggravating me already, and it's only 5.
Who?
44. I think they should feel great about it. I did not think they were going to get their way either way. The longer this went, I thought the likelihood was less and less and less. And I thought it was interesting. David and I talked about this before the show, how quickly the announcement came once we all found out that they were flying to Washington, how quickly we found out that the game would be at 7 o'clock. I thought we'd still be right now, during this segment of the show, we'd be talking about Tom Tunney and how nobody wants to eat his sticky buns because he's not being a good neighbor and yada, 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 yada. So I do applaud the city and the Cubs and everybody for making the common sense decision and having the Cubs play this game at night tomorrow night. Now, that being said, I was hoping to go to the day game tomorrow afternoon. I don't know that I want to go to the night game tomorrow night.
Doesn't work with your schedule.
It doesn't work with my schedule, but I'm not going to be selfish right now.
It's a Friday. Well, you got to wake up early on
Saturday.
I wake up early. I pass out at 5 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll be sleeping. I'll be sleeping in my seat.
1:20 is perfect.
Perfect.
You know, you get a couple drinks in you, and you're in bed by 5.
And
it's perfect.
These creatures called children.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have those to be concerned about on a Friday night.
You want to try to get to bed before they get home.
Yeah. I got two of those, too. Right? At least the public schools, District 205, would be watching them for a couple hours while I was at the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good question, David.
Bears safety Eddie Jackson said the defense against the Packers, quote, got a tired, complacent, got kind of lazy. What do you make of that?
Boy, I'm surprised at this from Eddie Jackson and a little disappointed. I think he is a guy that made a big error in judgment on Sunday night by going for the interception and lunging to make the tip on the pass to Randall Cobb and left, you know, exposed the defense. And 75 yards later, we had a ball game. I don't like this any better. I think this was another error in judgment. I don't know if I saw a team that necessarily was kind of lazy or tired and complacent. They were tired, but if they were also complacent and felt a little lazy, that's mental weakness. I mean, you talk about physical strength and explosiveness and all the things that we measure football teams and players by. Mental weakness is not something you want to hear or detect, and I detect some here because it's the season opener. What do you have? What can you possibly find as a reason to justify being complacent in the season opener against the Packers on national TV when you have a 20-point lead? I thought this was disappointing.
I honestly just think Eddie Jackson's not much of a wordsmith. I just think he may have chosen his words poorly here. I think complacent really bothers me. You know, the idea that you're somehow self-satisfied with a 20-point lead. The idea that we turned smug after the half. I can't stand that he used that word. Lazy is another one that really gets to you. You know, we're just indolent. I mean, what the hell is that? How can you possibly? I think unprepared may be the word he's looking for. Okay, you well, all the 2,000 snaps, everything else. You know, you had a bunch of guys that basically didn't play much in the preseason.
Gassed.
You were
is
gassed.
Another word.
You were exhausted. You were absolutely, you know, weary on game one, second half of game one. I don't doubt that there was a lot of nervous energy that burned off quickly, but I just think they were not. They just ran out of gas. They were gassed. They did not seem to be able to make the same kind of effort in the second half that they were in the first half, and it's because they weren't prepared to start a season. They looked like a team that hadn't done enough work, quite frankly. They just, and I mean, part of it is Khalil Mack signed on the, you know, we had 1 week of in the building. You know, Roquan Smith didn't have a preseason, so you couldn't get him out there. They lacked the energy you need to finish a game. And that's probably what he meant by lethargic, but he didn't say lethargic. He said complacent.
He did not, yeah.
But that's probably what
lethargic
he was searching for.
Lethargic is a good
for.
One.
Okay, I'm just saying, I think that the language he used is what really frosts you here. And I think what he was trying to say is that they just ran out of gas.
What do you think Nick Saban would think about one of his players saying that about one of his teams?
I don't think Nick Saban would ever have a team that would be at a point where one of the players could say that.
Quit asking.
You might be right, Mully, because I just played a cut at the top of the hour, and Eddie Jackson said this, the state of Chicago. So that's certainly possible.
Corrected himself.
And then through the S, and then through the live S on Illinois.
He's from Florida. Give him a break.
what jumped out to me is this is a young team that doesn't know how to win. And I think he may have been telling the truth. They looked at the scoreboard. Everything was going great. Nothing was going wrong. They're up 20-0 at Lambeau Field. And they relaxed. I think he was telling the truth.
I think it's a terrible, terrible look in week one after that game and what happened and the way it went down in the second half with blowing that big lead and then coming out and saying this, you know, there's already, I don't want to say heat on the coach. I think that's ridiculous, but there's a lot of scrutiny on the coach and the play calling in the second half of that game and the effort of the players didn't look to be the same. You know, I'm usually not somebody who questions the effort of professional players, especially in, you know, a big time situation like that. I give them the benefit of the doubt generally that they're all giving forth a 100% of their effort. But to hear Eddie Jackson come out and say this, it's pretty damning on the coaching staff, on the entire defense. This is a group of defensive players who, while they were top 10 in the league yesterday, outside of Khalil Mack and Danny Trevathan, none of them have really accomplished a thing in the NFL. So to become lazy or complacent because you're up by a few touchdowns in Green Bay, it's completely unacceptable. I hope that he just, you know, chose his words poorly, Mully, like you might have said. Like I said, he's from Florida. You have to give him a break there and kind of, you know, take everything he says with a grain of salt. But when I saw this quote, no, I did not like it one bit.
Well, I don't know how you could like the quote. He's not Eddie. He's been here for like a half a cup of coffee. He also had a couple of plays last night. David, you mentioned this at the Bears. Was it Monday or Tuesday, David, that they had safeties in, right? They were trying out safeties.
Yeah, they worked them out on the off
day.
Okay,
now they weren't. I'm not saying that those guys they worked out were going to necessarily replace Eddie Jackson, but they had a concern, and rightfully so. Eddie Jackson had a nice first half. He had a terrible second half. I actually thought, wow, Eddie Jackson's playing some really good football in the first half. And as good as he played in the first half, he might have played that bad in the second half.
I agree with that.
That's not the guy. If Akeem Hicks had said that, made that comment, and it's not because he comes on this show, I could. Okay, all right. He's being an honest assessment. Okay, he looked tired. I think he admitted that he was a little bit gassed in that game. He admitted that to this show. But I don't think Eddie Jackson should be saying things like that. And this whole, he's from Florida and he's young and give him a break and yada yada. Then just, no. Because if you came out and told me that Eddie Jackson refused to talk to the media, I'd be like, fine, I don't care. I don't need to hear Eddie Jackson talk. I need Eddie Jackson to separate the ball from people. That's what I need Eddie Jackson to do.
That's a clown question, bro.
Tonight, NBC Sports Chicago will air a documentary about Hawk Harrelson. Is he on your Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports broadcasters? And who is?
You know, I'll put him on my Mount Rushmore. Here's the thing. Has anyone been to Mount Rushmore? Because I got to tell you, I hate this Mount Rushmore compare. I know we get it all the time. Mount Rushmore, you owe yourself to go to Mount Rushmore. It is remote. It is located in, South Dakota. And it's, Rapid City? I always get it confused with Grand Rapids. And when you get to the airport and you want to go to Grand Rapids and you're going to Rapid City, it's confusing. I have had the good fortune of going there and seeing this. It is overwhelming. It's awe-inspiring. It's absolutely phenomenal. You're also not that far from the Badlands, which are, it's like being, I've never seen anything like the Badlands. You really owe it to yourself to go there. And once you've made that big a sacrifice, get yourself a rental car. And if you drive it on your own, you can just keep going. Get to Yellowstone. Don't miss these national parks. This country has some of the most beautiful places you'll ever see in your life. And it's a great trip to make. And if you have kids, there's nothing like being in a car, driving with your kids, listening to books on tape. It's a really important thing to do for them. And I would highly recommend it to anybody. But I hate the Mount Rushmore thing. I mean, coming up with four people, here's the beauty of sports and here's the beauty of broadcast. Baseball really is where you find this because you watch so many games with the announcer. You get to know him and you're sitting there with him and you watch him. I'm a Sox fan. I've watched tons of games with Hawk. He is a guy that I am going to miss dramatically when he leaves because I've watched the games with him all these years, and it's hard for me to watch the games with other people. My Hall of Fame or my whatever it would be obviously Harry Carey and Jack Brickhouse and Hawk, and I put Steve Stone in there because I watch games with him on both sides of town, and I know he's a color analyst. And I should say Pat Foley, but I'll say Stoney because we've watched so many games together over the years, and he does an unbelievable job.
Guess I should have said Fab Four.
Well, I mean, here's the problem. I just really...
it's a sports radio
It's hard
thing.
To limit it, and it's hard to, yeah. Because I think we're talking about broadcasters. Like, Wayne Larrivee did a great job back in the day. Yeah. Am I supposed to say Wayne when he's doing the Packer games? It's just hard to come...
You wouldn't
it's
dare
hard
do
to,
that.
No, it's just hard to come up with... And there's not enough games
it's not
in
that hard. I mean,
it's not enough games any sport other than baseball.
It's a very subjective...
Jim Durham was a part of my a voice of my childhood, but I can't use him.
Why? If he's your favorite, that's okay. Why?
Well, because I think it's got to be baseball. It's got to be the number of games. It's got to be the guy that you watch the games
with. I think it's interesting, because it depends. As many people that will enjoy watching the Hawkumentary tonight at 7 on NBC Sports Chicago, and we're talking to Hawk today at 8:20. I'm looking forward to that conversation. But as many people enjoy him, you'll see find just as many probably that loathe him.
And like I said, I'm a...
Polarizing.
I'm a Sox fan, so...
It's very polarizing.
I love Jeff Joniak. Just as a dude.
Is he chiseled in there?
You know.
Number four?
I don't know.
No, I think that when you look at Chicago sports broadcasters, you have a ton to choose from. We've been very blessed in the city to
Eddie Olczyk belongs there.
Eddie O, one day, possibly. You can chisel him in. I'd go with Harry, Brickhouse, Hawk, Pat Foley.
No Farmer.
Starts with Ed and DJ, as far as I'm concerned.
That's just a given. Very tough. I had to cut out Gary Bender. I miss him saying Chicago all the time when he would refer to the Bears on the broadcast for a couple of seasons.
Just to clarify, the local Chicago. Broadcaster watching.
Well, Chicago. Harry is an absolute given. Lock him in. Two guys that I thought of because I was so angry as a child when they left. Jim Durham and Wayne Larrivee. So they're on my list. Harry, Durham, Larrivee. Last one. I'm not a Sox fan, but Hawk and Wimpy is the best broadcast team I have ever heard in my life. And when that came to an end, I was sad. I don't know how you separate them. I'm going to watch the Hawk documentary tonight, but Wimpy cracked me up so many times, and the Polish jokes, would never stop, and they would get me too. So I put Wimpy in there. But I love Hawk too.
If we're talking nostalgia, yeah, you know, Hawk and Wimpy are probably my favorites broadcast team, but I don't know if Hawk really holds up in the year 2018, so it's probably a good thing that he's calling it quits. He's up there, though, for sure, on this Mount Rushmore, the Fab Four, whatever you want to call it. You have to put Harry Carey up there as well. Wasn't my cup of Budweiser, but, you know, beloved, obviously an icon in this city. Pat Foley, probably the best around, and I'm going to go with Steve Stone as well, because he's just been so ubiquitous in the Chicago baseball scene. As far as I can remember, either side of town, he's always been there. He's always solid. So I'll go Hawk, Harry, Pat Foley, and Stoney.
Not your cup of Budweiser. I like that analogy. You could pass it over here. I'll never turn down a Bud Heavy or a Bud Light. I'm glad we're running out of time here on this one. First of all, hell yes, I'm going to watch that tonight. And I will definitely have the DVR fired up, worst case scenario, in case moving parts don't align properly. I really have enjoyed him. I can't say I've watched a ton, but when I have watched, I've watched as much because of him than the actual team I was watching, because I'm not the Sox fan. This is a really tough question. Okay, you know who else was a fantastic, another Sox broadcaster who was a really professional broadcaster, and I can't stand the team that he's doing now, but he's a great broadcaster, right? Been a guest of this show many times, John Rooney.
John Rooney.
Okay, that you talk about a professional,
yep,
fantastic broadcaster. Okay, this is really tough, and we're out of time, so I'm going to pass. I'm not going to answer the question.
Come on, answer the question. You can't say really tough.
It's so, Molly, it's so tough.
Yeah, the rest of us hit
four.
Come on, so, spit it out.
Pick four.
It is so.
You get mad when other people don't answer.
Exactly.
Right. This is the advantage of going last.
Oh,
okay?
Nonsense. That's no advantage.
I don't know.
All right, but for me, I didn't really ever hear Jack Brickhouse. I didn't grow up. That's pre... me listening.
Hey!
So it's got
to
be...
He used to do Bear games, Dustin.
Right, right. Yep. I've heard about my family's big... You know, I heard the guys who used to do the Hawks games, my family loves those guys.
He did Bear games with Irv Cups in it.
Wow.
When did Jack Brickhouse retire? I have no recollection of Jack Brickhouse.
There's a statue
whatsoever.
Of him on Michigan Avenue.
I wouldn't
there.
Know Jack Brickhouse if he zombie walked in here right now with his headset on. Wow. I don't know Jack Brickhouse.
But anyway, it would be...
Say it, Joe Carter. Do it.
Joe Carter. I have to put Len in there. I have to put Pat Hughes in there. I have to put Pat Hughes in there. The mic's on, by the way. I have to put Pat Hughes in there. I'm saying that I sit there. I did not like some of these guys when they got here, and they've grown on me, and now I don't know if I could do without them, honestly. Like, the Bulls guys are kind of eh for me. I used to love Way Downtown Bang when it was on the radio. I don't necessarily like Funk on television. I liked Neil Funk on the radio better than I like him on television. Foley's fine. He's taught me a lot. It's a really tough question.
I think you're better.
I can't believe you gutless can't answer one answer.
I need more time. The other day when you were like complaining that you didn't get the list in time for the games that we were picking last Friday.
Uh-huh.
Like you make fun of me because I'm still the guy who watches pregame shows, postgame shows, halftime shows, all the shows that I can get. This is a very, very tough question.
We didn't
question
even mention
for me.
Brenly was great when he was
Brenly
here.
Yes, was fantastic he was. When yep. he was here. Absolutely right.
That's
Joe.
Right. Okay, well, there you go. That's the gutless one. Can't answer a question. I'm absolutely bothered by that, Dustin. Because
well,
Joe
come
is
back
right.
to me in an hour.
You would go ballistic.
Absolutely, I
if,
would.
If,
sure.
If
it's now six.
Someone
it's
else
now
did
6
that.
O'clock in the morning.
All right, then we have to move on. What do you think? Has the schedule caught up with the Cubs? Is it about to? Who will have the bigger postseason impact? Brandon Morrow or Jason Hayward, or you, Darvish? Let's throw him in. Should the Cubs feel good about getting Friday's game moved back to 7 p.m. or bad about having to travel to Washington today after MLB ignored their pleas? They were very polite about it. Bears safety Eddie Jackson said the defense against the Packers, quote, got tired, complacent. We got kind of lazy, close quote. What do you make of that? And who's on your Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports broadcaster?
Johnny Red Kerr, how, with all that,
yeah,
all
Dustin,
those wins,
Dustin's going to try to talk it through.
He's going to talk to 30 guys.
Yeah, we need a.
Got to talk it through.
That's a lot of chiseling.
You know, you got this earlier, so if you should know. You should have had a list. It's Mully and Haw. It's Dustin letting us down again on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.